Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
First of my good evening. Welcome to the programme and what has been a rather blustery day. Coming up before 5.30, now we had a listener sharing her experience of long ENT waiting times on breakfast this morning. During the programme, we are going to hear Manx Care's response to that. I mentioned the weather, it certainly had an impact on the sunken gardens. If you go to our Facebook page, you can take a look at the wall that has completely collapsed around there. We'll have some more details for you. Also tonight, if you're dealing with family-related issues, there is help available. We'll tell you how you can access free legal guidance from Man Benham. And if you've spotted those AI-generated travel guides purporting to be from the Isle of Man but actually not, we have some good news about that as well. We'll also have a look at the weather and the latest traffic and travel before 5.30. But we will start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Christian Fastemai.
Fastemai. Manx Care has apologised to patients facing long waits and short notice cancellations for ear, nose and throat treatment, saying it recognises the distress this causes. The response follows concerns raised by a Manx resident who says she waited more than 4 years for treatment, only to have the surgery cancelled with less than 24 hours notice. The organisation says it's taking steps to improve the reliability and capacity of ENT services. The owner of the Castletown Golf Links Hotel says he wants to produce a building on the site that speaks of greatness.
This is a beautiful part of the island. The Isle of Man by itself is beautiful. We got to polish this diamond. That means people come here, they walk into greatness.
What exactly will go in its place is still being decided. And we could see snow on higher ground later today and overnight. A yellow alert's been issued, with forecasters saying routes like the mountain road could be affected. In the latest international news, pressure is mounting on the UK Prime Minister over his appointment and support of Peter Mandelson as US ambassador.
Britain is not being governed. We need a better government. They can't get anything done. Something is wrong. And yes, while we're all reading the tittle-tattle of who said what in the Epstein files, our country is going backwards.
That's Tory leader Kemi Badenoch, who's urging Labour MPs to call a vote of no confidence. Sir Keir Starmer's apologised to Jeffrey Epstein's victims and said he's sorry for believing the lies he was told by the peer. The cost of borrowing has been kept on hold at 3.75% by the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee. Governor Andrew Bailey's hinted at a reduction later this year as inflation heads towards the 2% target. And Great Britain's curlers have made it 2 wins from 2 at the Winter Olympics. They're back in action this evening against the Czech Republic as the opening event of the Games continues. Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Christian. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So the general forecast first of all, this evening there is going to be an outbreak of rain, likely to be wintry over the hills, strong to gale force easterly winds. They're only going to slowly decrease this evening and maximum temperatures will be around 6. Looking ahead to tomorrow, further outbreaks of rain for much of the day. Any snow over the hills will turn back to rain. Strong winds again, top temperatures of around 7. We have got those two yellow weather warnings in place. One for snow, which is mainly, as we say, over the hills until 9 a.m. And there's another yellow weather warning for coastal overtopping. That comes into force at midnight and that is in force until 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Now first tonight, Manx Care has apologised to patients who've experienced long waiting times or short notice cancellations for ear, nose and throat services on the Isle of Man. It says it fully recognises the distress, inconvenience and loss of confidence this can cause and accepts some patients have waited far longer than it would wish. Now Manx Care says ENT waiting times have been affected by long-standing workforce shortages, limited specialist availability and sustained demand, noting that in a small health system, the loss or unavailability of even one specialist can have a significant impact. It says it's taking steps to improve the reliability and capacity of ENT services, including reviewing how surgery lists are scheduled, strengthening contingency plans when clinicians are unavailable, improving links with larger UK hospitals, and progressing off-island treatment options where care can't currently be provided here on the island. Manx Care adds that when operations are cancelled cancelled at short notice, affected patients are prioritised for rebooking, and work, they say, is underway to improve communication so people are kept informed as early and clearly as possible. So this apology follows concerns raised by an Isle of Man resident on Manx Radio Breakfast this morning, who says she's been waiting for more than 4 years for ENT treatment. The woman, who asked to remain anonymous, said after 4 years on the waiting list, she was seen by the ENT department in 2024, where a decision for surgery was made. She was told she'd receive a letter for pre-assessment, but later attended what turned out to be a duplicate appointment, which she was told was an administrative error. Over the following months, she says she repeatedly contacted the service for an update, but was advised that ENT theatre time had been cancelled. Although her pre-assessment was completed in July, she was told surgery would take place within 6 weeks. No date was then issued. In January, she finally did receive a surgery date, only for that to be cancelled with less than 24 hours' notice. So she told us that the prolonged uncertainty has had a significant impact on her physical and mental health, her work, those around her, and it's left her unable to plan her life or feel confident treatment will actually take place. Now, while she says she doesn't blame ENT clinicians, she does believe greater transparency is needed from Manx Care around waiting times and service provision, and says management decisions and repeated theatre cancellations have contributed to the delays. Now, according to Isle of Man figures, more than 17,000 people are currently waiting for a first outpatient appointment. Of those, 1,973 are awaiting ENT treatment, with a median waiting time of around 55 weeks, and 124 patients are waiting for a decision on treatment. Well, Manx Care says its aim is for 92% of patients to wait no longer than 18 weeks, although it does note waiting times can be affected by personal choice or missed appointments. It does encourage anyone who has concerns about their care or waiting times to contact the Manx Care Advice and Liaison Service so individual situations can be reviewed and supported.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
It's 7 minutes past five. So if you've been online today, I'm sure you will have seen plenty of photographs and videos of the waves that were crashing over onto the east coast of the island. There was an amber weather warning in place this afternoon that was for coastal overtopping, with strong easterly winds and high tides causing plenty of damage. Well, Lewis has been down to Loch Promenade on Douglas Prom to take a look at the aftermath.
It's about 2 hours now after high tide. That amber weather warning for coastal overtopping has now ended. There's still waves coming over onto Loch Promenade here. The sea terminal car park by the Victoria Pier side had to be closed. That was because glass had blown out on the barrier there. The bottleneck, as we know, still closed when I walk past. You can see those curb stones that have become dislodged, some of them amongst the cars that are parked there. And I've just taken a walk down, and the sunken gardens before the Bee Gees are fine, where the RNLI memorial is, but you come across to the next set as well, and you can see that the entire wall along one stretch has collapsed back into the sunken gardens. You can probably still hear waves crashing over. And it's not actually raining right now, but you wouldn't think that if you were walking along Douglas Prom at the moment. All along here, people and cars are being sprayed. The only giveaway that it's not raining is the fact that it's salt water. And this is an easterly wind. It's a strong easterly wind coming straight into the bay. This end, more towards Loch Promenade, towards the sea terminal, has really taken a battering over these last few days. And we know there's been multiple amber weather warnings in this week, each one for coastal overtopping. And I saw someone post earlier saying they think that today has actually been the worst in terms of the waves crashing onto the promenade. I'm just looking down now towards the war memorial, and you can see plenty of debris along the promenade walkway. It's understandable why Loch Prom was closed earlier today, even if for a very short time. There are signs as you walk along the road of just how bad the waves were. There's sand and stones and planks of wood and little bits as well from the sunken gardens themselves on the roadway. And we know it was a similar situation up along the east coast and up to the north as well. Laxey and Ramsey promenades both closed for a while this afternoon. And as I speak right now, looking down the prom, I can see some teams from the council putting up some tape and cordoning off that section of the sunken gardens where that wall has collapsed. So the tide is now receding, and the clean-up operation begins.
It certainly does. That was Lewis down Lock Promenade a short time ago. We did get in touch with the council. They said the wall that has come down is in the Marine Garden Wall number 3. Douglas Council staff, as Lou said there, were on site earlier. They've closed the gardens until the weather eases, and that wall will obviously have to be rebuilt in due course. We've shared various photographs and videos on our Facebook page, and as Lewis mentioned, we know it's quite bad in Ramsey and possibly Laxey as well, so we'll keep an eye on how things are going there. We're going to talk now about the plans in the UK to introduce a new net zero tax on domestic ferry trips, which government says will not affect sailings to and from the Isle of Man. It does warn those separate proposals relating to international journeys, which are due to come into force in 2028, could. Lewis again has the details.
Earlier this week, the UK government voted to approve an emissions trading scheme for the maritime sector, put forward by the Department for Energy Security and Net Zero, of which Ed Miliband is secretary. The planned domestic levy will take effect from July, pushing, amongst other things, the cost of a summer car crossing to the Isle of Wight up by £28. A report by The Telegraph claims the policy will also affect firms offering trips to the Scilly Isles, Channel Islands and Isle of Man, but not the Scottish Islands, which have been exempted. Ministers are also considering applying the levy to all international journeys to and from the UK from 2028. That would increase the price of cruise holidays to destinations such as Europe and the Caribbean, it says. Well, in a statement to Manx Radio, the Isle of Man government says it's aware of the development relating to domestic UK to UK voyages, which is due to come into effect in July, but it would not affect sailings to and from the Isle of Man. It says those separate proposals relating to international journeys could affect sailings to and from the Isle of Man. Officers are engaging with colleagues from the UK's Department for Energy Security and Net Zero as part of the consultation process. And that consultation process is ongoing. The Steam Packet Company has declined the opportunity to comment at this stage.
Lewis Foster reporting. As ever, you can find the full details on the Manx Radio website. Coming up to 12 minutes past five. Well, developers behind the proposed Morvannon offshore wind farm have published a pretty hefty series of responses to concerns raised during public consultation. Now, naturally, Morvannon is a large-scale wind farm proposed for Manx Waters. It's being developed by Ørsted. And before we get into the consultation response itself, Christian's just with me now. Christian, first, just bring us up to speed on what this project would actually involve.
Yeah, first my best. So in simple terms, Morvannon would be a large offshore wind farm made up of turbines installed out at sea, linked together by subsea cables. That electricity would then be brought ashore via export cables connected to the island's electricity network, with the potential to supply power locally and possibly export energy to the UK as well.
So let's turn our attention then to the consultation response. What do we know about that?
So this document is the developer's formal response to feedback from the public, regulators and industry bodies. It explains how concerns around environmental impacts, fishing, visual effects, energy security and decommissioning have been considered as the project moves towards an examination phase.
Does it suggest any big changes to the scheme?
So not fundamentally. The developer says a full environmental impact assessment's already been completed and it stands by those concerns. Some refinements have been made, though, like reducing the size of the offshore array, but many of the finer details would actually be finalised later, only if consent is granted.
And I appreciate this is probably just one piece of a much larger puzzle. So where do we go from here then?
Yeah, so the response now feeds into the formal examination stage, and that's where the project will be scrutinised in more detail before any final decision is made.
Christian, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, there were some road closures earlier because of the weather. Mostly okay now, but Douglas City Council has closed the bottleneck car park from this evening through until Saturday morning. That is because of a forecast change in wind direction. It's increasing the risk of coastal storm surges. The council says the closure, it will protect vehicles and drivers from potential damage or injury, so you're asked not to use that car park until conditions improve. Otherwise, it's the usual roadworks that were probably there this morning. They'll probably still be there on your way home. All okay down at the airport, and of course the weather affecting the sailings today. This evening's sailings all cancelled, so the next sailing from the Isle of Man will be the 8 a.m. to Heysham tomorrow morning.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check, so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's just coming up to 5:15 here on Update, and a Douglas-based law firm is offering people on the Isle of Man the chance to get some free legal advice with no appointments and, they say, no pressure. Man Benham Advocates is holding a drop-in session next week for anyone looking to take that first step, whether it's advice on family law, legal aid or financial or property matters. Senior Advocate Emma Radcliffe says previous sessions have shown just how important it is to create a welcoming, supportive space, one that helps people feel comfortable seeking the advice they need.
It's really quite low-key, and that's the whole point of the sessions, that you don't have to make a decision now as to what you want to do. Lots of people just need a little bit of information, and then they can come back to us with that information, knowing which path they would like to take if and when they decide to do so. The really unofficial nature of the sessions is really important, because you do find that when a client makes an appointment to come in, they may have pondered doing that for kind of 6 months, 12 months, sometimes even a lot longer, and it was a massive step for them. And I think, quite rightly, a lot of clients now feel that just being able to pop in, have a chat with no obligation, makes that a whole lot easier for them.
How difficult is it for the person to take that first step?
I think it's hugely difficult, and that is common when we, you know, have appointments with clients. The first thing they say when they come in is, oh, I'm really nervous, or I don't know what to expect. Or so I think, you know, you're going with any family situation, whether it be, you know, a separation or whether it be contact matters, they're going from the known to the unknown. Very often for a divorce or a separation, for example, whether life is happy or not, it's the known. They've got this situation where they know what to expect every day, whereas taking the leap to come and see an advocate and actually make that break can be really hugely significant. Life-changing, really, isn't it? Not only is it confidential with us, the advocates who are dealing with it, but all the staff involved. A lot of people worry about the financing of it, to come in and how they're going to fund the sessions. And that's the point, first and foremost, of the drop-in. That is a free initial consultation, so there will be no charge for the advice you're given. And that gives them some background information to make informed decisions. But we also talk about legal aid funding. People don't always know whether they're eligible for any kind of legal aid support. And if they are, we will talk them through that, so that that can be another option, and we can sign them up to the legal aid funding. For some people, then the cost is nothing to them moving forward.
That's Senior Advocate at Man Benham, Emma Radcliffe, talking to Chanel there. So that next drop-in session taking place on Tuesday, that's the 10th of February, from midday until 3 p.m. It's at Man Benham's new offices on Victoria Street in Douglas. And you can call 639 350 if you want to get any more information. You can find all those details on the Manx Radio website. 17 and a half minutes past five. So you might remember a while ago, I think it was back in September, we reported on the distribution of AI-generated Isle of Man travel guides. And the real issue with this is that these booklets, which could be found for sale online, included photographs that were completely unrelated to the island and that had been created using artificial intelligence. Well, someone who spotted it is heritage campaigner Charles Gard, who's with me now. And Charles, there's been a little bit of an update on this story. So first of all, just remind us how these were first spotted.
We have apartments at Milne Town, and some guests had stayed and left one of these guides behind, and one of the girls there gave it to me, and they were puzzling over these ludicrous photographs of the Isle of Man. This is a guide written by Antoine Lafreniere, which doesn't sound right, the Isle of Man Travel Guide 2025, with bizarre photographs. I mean, Castellinard looks like the Great Wall of China, and the Laxey Wheel is just some old paddle wheel. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. So, and then I found another one. There's another one. That's the Isle of Man. It's actually some gorge in China. These are totally fake books. So I Googled Isle of Man guides on Amazon, and all these fake books came up. One of them had an Egyptian temple on the front with the words Isle of Man above it. I don't know. That's somebody's garden in Ramsey. I don't know. But so at the back, they all say printed in Dunstable. And I Googled that. printed in Dunstable, and up came an BBC UK article featuring the MP for Dunstable and Leighton Buzzard, Mrs. Alex Mayer, who was very proudly in the Amazon warehouse in Dunstable, where they print all these books, thousands of them a year. So I wrote to her and I said, you have raised the profile. You've asked them to put printed in Dunstable on the back. You've raised the profile because here we've got a whole range of fake books that Amazon are retailing. And she was quite shocked by it. So she has been now in touch with the head of Amazon UK, Chris Rees, and he has taken all these books down and all the posters. If you Google Seaside Posters Isle of Man, up come a load of fake pictures of, I don't know, they're printed in China or made in China and printed by Amazon. So he's now introduced a system of red flagging, and they are now going to take more notice of what they actually publish. And all these fake ones have been taken down. But this is just travel guides. I was in someone's house the other night. They showed me a book about a jazz player and they were reading it. They said, this doesn't sound very good. And I said, look at the back. Is that printed in Dunstable? Yes. So this is another. There's thousands of fake books out there.
Now, I should say, when we spoke with Visit Isle of Man about these AI-generated guides back in September, they said it's hard to control scams like these, but they were aware of it happening. And the only thing that they could do was to complain to whoever was distributing them. And they do encourage island operators to make sure whatever they're doing, they do it through the official Visit Isle of Man website, which does have some security with it being a genuine site. But Charles, I mean, as you say, this is possibly just the tip of the iceberg with regards to this. And I guess as a response, responsibility on all of us maybe to call it out.
Well, actually, the responsibility is on Amazon. I used to run Culture Van and we published 30 books when I was there. Of course, you put in the publisher's name, published by Culture Vanon. If you look at these books, they've got no publisher's name in at all. So they are being published anonymously. And Amazon, I'm going to write to Mr. Rees and say, look, you really need to put in a valid publisher's name and address at the front. Because if there is anything libelous or scandalous, you've got no one to go to. It's published anonymously. And in the UK, they also have a law which says that every book that's printed, 5 copies have to be given to the deposit library at the British Library. I just wonder if these are being put in there. So there's a whole host of issues that Charles Gard is going to take up with Amazon in the near future.
Do you know, I just wonder how many people have got posters, pictures on their walls of like something purporting to be the Isle of Man that's completely not. They might be a bit disappointed when they get here.
That's the point. What did these poor people think when they came here and Cash Linard wasn't as big as the Great Wall of China? They must have been devastated.
But some positive news, though, Charles, and I guess it's heartening to see that this is an issue that's been taken seriously.
Yes, it is, and good for Amazon, and we will be in contact with them. I'll keep you updated.
Charles Gard, thank you very much indeed. It's 22 minutes past five. Now, a talented Manx film team, including a true cinematic heavyweight, is hoping their new short film, Catch, could help reignite the Isle of Man's film industry. So the goal really is to spark a revival and put the Isle of Man firmly back on the map as a go-to destination for filmmakers, using bona fide materials, of course. Indiana Jones star John Rhys-Davies first gives his opinion of Dave Armstrong, who's behind this film.
Well, he's a really rare character. You know, he really does have a creative imagination. He can write, you know, he can film. He's a recordist. He's a musician. He can make his own music. And he's the most undersold filmmaker on the island.
The whole Isle of Man's creative world is very important. And the fact that we can hopefully help progress that, spread the word, remind the world out there that we are here. This is such a fantastic place to make a film that I just want to share it with the world to remind them. Get yourselves over here.
You had the Enterprise Minister here. You're obviously looking for support.
Supporting not just in words, but finding the mechanism that we can attract those productions. And not necessarily 100% of a production, but enough of a production that will rekindle our industry.
The comeovers, and even worse, the stayovers, who have so much experience and so much success frequently, are completely underused.
I have to wear two hats. Partly, obviously, my project is really important and precious to me, but obviously, the whole Isle of Man's creative world is very important, and the fact that we can hopefully help progress that, spread the word, remind the world out there that we are here. This is such a fantastic place to make a film. I just want to share it with the world to remind them, get yourselves over here.
That is Dave Armstrong, and before that, John Rhys-Davies talking about that film premiere earlier this week. Talking of premieres, we're premiering a brand new series here on Manx Radio tonight in which we speak to island residents who, shall we say, have got unconventional jobs. We take a look at what their work entails. It's called A Day in the Life Of. We've been talking to people all over the Isle of Man. And first up, talking to Siobhan, was Hannah Phillips, who's a community ranger for the Manx Wildlife Trust.
The role of community ranger, I mean, when I say it to people, they kind of always give me a bit of an odd look because, I mean, who knows what community ranger is. But basically, it's a role that supports individuals and groups with their own wildlife or environmental projects. So it can be a range of things. It can be helping people to establish community gardens. It can be working with churches. It can be working with businesses who have some outside space. Basically, any project that's sort of independent from Manx Wildlife Trust, I'm there to support in whatever way I can.
Where are you from originally, and like, how did you get into this role?
So I'm originally from Bristol. I moved to the island in May 2022. I got into my role in quite an unusual way, I suppose. So over COVID, I had quite a big career change. So before COVID, I actually worked as a stage manager in the theatre. So I used to help sort of regional productions and go on tours. And yeah, it was just always on the move and sort of working away from home. And then when COVID happened, the show that I was working on in London obviously got shut down. So I moved back in with my parents in Bristol, and then basically had a good old think and realised that actually I wanted a change of career. I then went back to university, got a qualification in ecology, and then started looking for new jobs. And then, yeah, saw one on the Isle of Man and thought, I've always wanted to live by the sea, really fancy something different. And then, yeah, and then here we are. And then that was sort of 3.5 years ago or so.
So that's a little sneak peek of Manx Wildlife Trust community ranger Hannah Phillips speaking to Siobhan, the first episode of A Day in the Life Of coming up after this programme. Before that, though, sport brought to us by The Print Shed and Darren Timpson.
1st of May, we'll start in cycling. An Isle of Man cyclist, Matthew Bostock, claimed a medal at the UEC Track Elites European Championships in Turkey this week. Competing for Team GB in Konya, the 22-year-old took part in a team pursuit bronze final against France as the side won the third-placed medal. His teammates in the event were Henry Hobbs, Tim Shawman, Mark Stewart, Will Tidball, Ben Wiggins, the son of former Tour de France winner Bradley Wiggins, and Ollie Wood. Bostock also took part in the individual pursuit, however he narrowly missed out on a second bronze medal as he crossed the line in fourth. The Southern Motorcycle Club is set to host the first round of an Enduro series this weekend. The first round of the Les Jones Enduro Centre will take place in the Arasi and Kringle plantations on Sunday. More than 20 riders are expected to compete in the event, which begins in Carnegie. The Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture is advising people to follow all safety signage and instructions issued by event organisers. And on to shooting, where the fourth and final round of the Utopia Hare Cell and Winter Skeet League took place. The joint leaders after the first round were Joe Farragher and Zach Bellhouse on 24 points. In third place on 23 was George Davis, Joan Cowley, Mike Walker, John Moore, Giulio Fabrizio and Brian Farragher on 23. In the second round, Bellhouse returned to 25 straight to take the shoot by one from Joe Farragher, who had another 24 for a final score of 48. George Davies was third on 47, with June Cowley, Mike Walker and Peter Kelly next on 45. B-Class saw Davies take victory with Kelly in second, Corlett and Fabrizio finished third. Finally in C-Class, first was Devlin, Vanderberg in second and Kelly in third. Next week sees the final round of the Brian Kelly Winter Series Pro Sporting League.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Well, that is all from Update this evening. Coming up next, the Island Life special, A Day in the Life Of. Chris Kinney then will be here at 6 p.m. with Greatest Hits. It's a little like music at 9 with Morris Powell. And then Ree will round off your Thursday with After Hours from 10. Update will be back at 5 tomorrow. Have a great evening.